Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. It's Adele Lamar with 102.3 KJLH, and I'm calling you on behalf of AARP. Thank you guys for joining this conversation. Now, this is going to be a good one. Tonight, we are talking about California's paid family leave law. Now, this is a special telephone town hall, and I thank you for joining us. We want to get some important information to you and your families, caregivers who are considering taking advantage of this law, the California Paid Family Law, okay? So everyone's familiar with AARP, right? It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization with a membership of nearly 3.3 million in California. And I love AARP because they believe age and experience can expand your possibilities, and it's dedicated to improving the quality of life of all of us as we age. And tonight, we're going to connect you with a lot of important, unique tools and programs to help you tackle issues that matter to you and your family and our communities. And as a caregiver, I've been one for quite some time now, I want to make sure that you have the information you need to be a part of this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift to care for those that you love, okay? So a lot of folks, I talk to them on the radio station, and I'm talking to them, and they don't even realize that they're caregivers. So did you know that you are a caregiver if you just help someone with their daily activities like getting dressed? Maybe your neighbor helps you. You help your neighbor get their medication management or drive them to and from places. That makes you a caregiver, right? So I want you to grab a pen and paper because we're going to give you some information tonight that you really want to have on hand so you can give it to your family. You yourself will use it or pass on the information, okay? This is going to help you find out how you can take care of a family member, a paid leave law, a family paid leave law that can help you care for your caregiver and you still get benefits from your job. Now, this is not just listening to my experts tonight talk. I want you to get in on this. I want you to have questions. If you don't have a question, listen right down. Write it down. Perhaps you can send it to, we have a website where we're going to give you a center that you can reach out, a resource center. But tonight, if you can, jump in on the conversation, and all you have to do is hit *3 on your telephone pad, okay? And that will connect you with an operator who will get you in on the conversation. So let's get to it. I want you to meet my experts tonight, all right? First, I have with me Donna Benton. She's from USC, Los Angeles Family Caregiver Support Center. And I have Jenya Cassidy. She is the Executive Director of the California Work and Family Coalition. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Donna, let me start with you. I want you to give all the folks that are listening a little of your background.
Okay. Hi, everybody. And thank you. I always enjoy being on these calls. My background is I'm a geral psychologist, so I have specialized in helping understand psychology and aging and how to work with family caregivers. I've been working with family caregivers for over 30 years, and I'm also the director of the USC Family Caregiver Support Center, which provides information, resources, respite, really comprehensive services for family caregivers throughout LA County and part of a larger system that provides it throughout the entire California area called the Caregiver Resource Centers, the California Caregiver Resource Centers. So thank you again for inviting me.
Thank you. And we have Jenya Cassidy. Jenya is how you pronounce it. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly okay. Right. Thank you.
She's the Executive Director of the California Work and Family Coalition. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization you work with.
Thank you. I'm so happy to participate in this. So I am the director of a statewide coalition called the California Work and Family Coalition. And we work with a variety of different organizations and people. For example, I know Donna through the coalition. She's been, her expertise has helped us a lot in caregiving and how we're reaching out to different communities. But unlike Donna, my background is a little more in organizing and public policy. So my role has been to bring a lot of different organizations and people together in the coalition to both change laws and change workplace policy, and also do a lot of education around the laws that we have now. And the coalition came together back when we passed the first paid leave law, and we've continued to work together on expanding that law so it works for more and more people.
I love it. So as you can see, family, those of you that are listening, we have some experts, some heavyweights on the line with us to share all of their resources and information with us, and we're thankful that they are here. Like I said, tonight we're talking about the California Paid Family Leave Law. Now, a lot of times if you've joined these conversations, we've talked a lot about caregiving. Tonight, we're going to focus on this law. If you do have a caregiving question, we'll try to get it answered offline, or someone will give you a call back, okay? But tonight, we're going to focus on this California Paid Family Leave Law that a lot of folks did not know about. They don't know that it's out there and available for caregivers, and we want you to know about it, all right? So we're going to start off. I see people already jumping on these on the lines trying to get their questions in. The top five things you should know about this law, we'll be able to get that to you, the resources on how you can access it and find out how to apply for it. A lot of people knew it was out there, but they didn't know how to apply. So again, *3 will get you to the operator, and we're going to find out how this intersects with the federal laws, such as the Family and Medical Leave Act. A lot of people want to know about this stuff, okay? So get ready. What I think my first question wants to come right off the bat before a lot of folks are listening, they don't know what this law is. Tell us, what is the law? And Donna, you can start with that.
Well, I think one of the things about the law, and I think Jinya would probably explain the law much better than I will, but we all have, those of us who work, pay into what is called EDD, so like disability insurance. And this law allows you to care for your family member who might have any kind of health, various health conditions, usually more severe ones, maybe like a cancer or Alzheimer's, or they may even have knee replacement surgery where they need your help for a period of time. What this allows you to do is get some of your wages replaced while you're caring for a family member. But Jinya can give you the exact details. So I'd like to pass that on.
I would love to hear from you, because Josephine just sent in one. She says she wants to take the family leave to care for her mother, but she doesn't know if her mother, I guess, is disabled enough. And she wants to know what that serious illness, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
And what are the conditions to qualify for it?
Yeah, I know. Well, Donna described it perfectly. The only thing more to know, I guess, is that paid leave, it gives you wage replacement for up to 6 weeks. It's something that we would like to expand in California, but right now it's up to 6 weeks of your partial salary, which would be 60 or 70%. And a serious health condition under paid leave, it's really a variety of things. So it might not be something we always think of as a serious health condition, because it could be anything from having a hospital stay where you're temporarily incapacitated to something like a terminal illness. But if you need care because of one of these types of things, it can also be chronic conditions, even like a migraine, which can be very incapacitating for a person, and they could need care. So these are the types of things that qualify, something that requires a hospital stay, or that incapacitates you for some period of time where you would need care. And the care doesn't have to be that you physically need care. It could even be psychological comfort and care. So, like, if my mother's in the hospital, I may not be the one who is doing the things the nurses are doing, but my being there can be very beneficial to her. So even my being by her bedside is care.
Absolutely. That's emotional care, because she's going through something. She's got to get there. Okay, so when we were talking earlier, family, we were saying we're going to give you the five things that you need to know, the top five things you should know about this law, and that was the first thing. What is it? What is paid family leave? Another question is, how long has this program been around? I've heard different numbers thrown out, but how long has it been around?
Jinya, are we going on our... we had our anniversary, right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's two ways to answer that. It passed in 2002, but people have only been able to take it since 2004. So it's been around more than 10 years. We're going on 15 years.
Does it still surprise you how many people don't realize that this is out there and how many companies and don't really share this information with their employees?
Yeah, that's why groups like Donna's and groups like the coalition groups really are so important. And we're working with the Employment Development Department, EDD, who administers the program now to really try to raise awareness. And especially with caregivers are not taking it the same amount as parents. So we really want to spread the word.
Yeah, now, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Donna.
No, and I just want to emphasize that, especially for caregivers, I think that they tend to think of, most people think of, oh, family leave, that means I have to have a baby. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's kind
right.
If you're a caregiver, like you described in the beginning, you're helping that emotional mm-hmm. support, you're coordinating medical appointments, there are times when sometimes you need to just do this maybe once a month regularly or mm-hmm. twice a month regularly. There's something you can actually take your leave intermittently is what they call it.
Oh.
But for me, it's like you're taking it as you need it, which is very different than most people for babies. You know, because they can think, oh, yeah, we're going to take that for the whole 6 weeks to be with the baby right at the beginning. But for caregivers, many times you may just need it more consistently over a longer period of time to spread your 6 weeks, you know, over a longer period of time. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons caregivers don't think they can benefit from it, because they don't feel like I need to take 6 full weeks all at the same time.
And they don't have to. Well, family, if you're listening, we're talking about the California paid family leave law. And we want you to jump in on this conversation. If you have some questions, *3, hit that on your phone right now. That'll get you to an operator who will get you to us, and you can ask your questions. Today we're talking it's going to be really all about this Family Leave Act that a lot of people don't know about. They don't know if they qualify for it. They're not taking advantage of it, and we're trying to get you as much information as we can. Again, we would say it, 2004 it's been around. People have not known about it. Different people ask all the time, too, Donna and Jenya, that, you know, is it just an immediate family like my mom, mm-hmm. my dad, or my child, or mother? But it can be also in-laws as well. Is that what I'm
mm-hmm. saying? Yeah. Yes, in-laws, parents-in-law specifically, not all in-laws, but so far, we could change that. But parents-in-laws, grandparent, grandchild, and a sibling, which we're finding a lot of people really become caregivers for their siblings, and especially in certain situations like cancer, there's a lot of situations where it really isn't going to be just a spouse or a grown child or a parent who can really care for you. So in California, too, we have a lot more multi-generational families living under one roof than a lot of other states. So this was really important. We actually worked on that law and expanded it because people really need it for a wide variety of family members.
When you have, I saw something about starting this year, there's no longer that 1 week waiting period before
mm-hmm.
the benefits begin. How does that work now?
Well, there used to be a 1 week waiting period, and it was sort of awkward because you would have to go 7 days without pay before you could take either, whether you're on disability or paid family leave, you'd have this waiting period. And now for paid family leave, you don't have the waiting period anymore. So that means when you need it, you can get wage replacement right away.
Wow. That really does help. That really does help. I have Trina with an online question. Trina Davenport, one of my good friends who is a caregiver as well. Trina has an online question. She jumped on it. It says, does the law apply to government employees because I do not pay into the state disability? If I take FMLA, I must use up my vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, there isn't any pay from the city employer.
Yes. Well, that's an interesting question because the way the law started was it was just based on who's paying into SDI. Now, right now, if you are a government employee who does not pay in, you don't qualify because it's all based on you paying into this insurance fund of SDI. However, it is possible for government employees to opt in if they do it as a whole group. For example, the library system where my brother-in-law works did opt in, but I've heard of other library systems that did not. So they had a vote and people either vote yes or no. We thought that massively all over the state people would want to do this. I think it's the lack of awareness and that it can be hard maybe to get all your coworkers on the same page about it. But that's something we would like to work on, either making sure public employees have their own system or that we're all in the same system, because it doesn't seem fair, it just doesn't seem fair to not be able to take this important time.
Family, if you're just joining us, we are talking about the California Paid Family Leave Law, AARP and KJLH have teamed up to bring you this teletown hall conference where we're chatting about this law and getting the information out. As long as it's been around since 2004, you cannot believe how many people don't know about it, how many employers are not sharing it with their employees that it's available, and you can press *3 and get in on the conversation. If you have questions, hit *3. If you would like one of our free Prepare to Care guides, you can get one by pressing *1, and you'll get one of those sent to you. Okay, we're going to take some of our folks that are calling in that's listening to us. I've got Marvin. Good evening, Marvin. I keep wanting to say morning, but it's the evening. I get up in the morning with you guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a question for our experts today.
Yes. The question is this. I live in the state of California, but I have an aging parent potentially might be needing that kind of assistance. So would I qualify for that if my aging parent is outside of the state? Does the person that you're caring for also have to live in the state of California, just as I do?
Oh, really good question. Mm-hmm. Which one of you would like to jump on that?
The short answer is you will still qualify because you're paying in California. It doesn't matter where the person is that you're caring for.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great. That is awesome.
So he can live here in California, and his parent can be somewhere else in another state, another part of the country, and he
another
can still
country,
use it.
They could be in a different country.
Really, a different country as well. Wow.
Yeah.
Marvin, yeah, that's true.
You're eligible. That's awesome.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you.
You know, I think that what we forget is this is an insurance program, just like disability insurance. And when you hear, you know, think of insurance, it means that you have paid into this. And actually, for workers, they're the ones paying for this, to get this insurance. And so this is your money that you have a right to. It's not a handout.
That's good. I like that. It's not a handout.
This is something
you've already paid into.
Mm-hmm. It's like any insurance. You pay your auto insurance, and
you
have your house insurance in case of, you know, God forbid, something, you need to use it. But you've already paid for this, so this is your funds coming back to you. Now, fortunately, it's a share pool, so, you know, like with any insurance program, so that helps a lot. But one of the things is, you know, there are limits in terms of how long you can take it, but the fact that there's flexibility in how you take it, that you can care for someone who's not necessarily in the state, but you need to be there to care for them, then this is the time to think about it and discuss it with your employer.
I love it.
But I think Jinya can even speak to, like, because it's state law, you know, how you work this out with the employer. Now, Jinya, can you maybe talk about the size of companies? Yeah,
because that is one of the questions that we get a lot. Is can I be fired, or do I have the right to take this leave, right? Because, you know, people, especially caregivers, there's so many different things that I've learned from Donna over the years about caregivers and work and how, you know, difficult it can be to balance. So what happens is, the way to look at it is that this law, paid family leave is really a benefit. So it really is just the money. And you, as a California worker, you may be covered under other laws that protect your job, including the FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act, or in California, the California Family Rights Act. Those laws really apply, especially for caregivers, those laws apply to larger companies of 50 or more and to workers who've worked for a year or more. However, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't be able to use your paid family leave. What it does mean is that you need more of a conversation with your employer. So you would have to sit down and really work out, you know, I need to take this leave. This is when I need it. I'm going to use my paid family leave and get some agreement with the employer. We did last year successfully pass a law that extended job protection through to more new parents who take leave. We would like to do the same for caregivers just because we think that if you are paying into this fund, you shouldn't have less of a right to take it than somebody else or to use it. So that's our philosophy, and we've already are starting on a campaign to look into how we can do that for caregivers as well.
I love it. Marvin, did we answer your question and give you some great information?
Yes, you did.
So, because those are the details that I always kind of struggle with, and I really appreciate being part of the coalition because they can answer those kind of questions, particularly for our caregivers who want to do it intermittently. And mm-hmm. it really gets the job protection.
Yeah.
Again,
because
that's a big concern.
You're right. That's a big concern. Because if we lose our jobs as caregivers, how can we even do what we do now to care for those we love, you know?
Right.
So we're really concerned about that. Marvin, I wish you well with that. I hope you're able to get out and take care of your parent. Go talk to your employer as soon as you can. And thank you so much for listening tonight. Joining in the conversation.
mm-hmm.
All right. We got so many folks that have questions for you. Let's see. This is Lady Barbara. Lady Barbara, how are you? Her son is caring for her grandchild who has asthma and some other issues going on. How can this law help him help her? How are you, Lady Barbara?
Oh, hi. I'm doing fine. Yeah, the question is, does this law apply to a family with minor children? They have to take off work all the time to take care of their children. And in some cases, they have lost a job because of this illness that these children have.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh. Yeah, that's sad. We hear that more than I wish we never heard that, but that does come up sometimes with people. And, you know, obviously the coalition, we really believe that nobody should ever have to choose between their child or their family member and a job. They should be able to have both. You need both.
Right,
you know, in that case, it's looking at the kind of job protection that she or he may have been covered under, because often, frankly, employers often don't know the law as well as you would think they would. And sometimes we, even as community members, organizers, workers ourselves, have to educate them. So it does happen that people are unjustly fired and need to get reinstated. And then sometimes if it is that the employer was able to do that, just know they don't have to do that. We can always try to figure out a way, because asthma is a chronic condition. It does fall under FMLA and CFRA, also paid family leave. So there should be that, you know, protection. We know not everybody's covered under it because they could be with a smaller employer. And that's something that we think is a culture shift that has to happen and a law shift, that we need both. We need to really see that people are whole people at work and that they need to be able to be there for their families sometimes too.
So Barbara should probably go to her have her son go to his employer, and they try to get versed on this law, because, you know, I guess we say that they don't want to tell us. Sometimes you're right. They may not know themselves, the employers.
Right.
They just may not know themselves. So
right.
it can,
okay.
this law can help your son. Just go to his employer, sit down and have a conversation, and I would think let both of you come together and start researching the company and your son and figure it out. But it should be able to help.
And AARP may be able to answer some of those questions. We also work with legal services. that also are in coalition with AARP and other groups here, who can just on a quick phone call can just answer a direct. I personally can't give legal advice, but there are groups that really are great that give free legal advice around these types of issues. Of just what to say to your employer and what to educate them on.
And Barbara, let me give you the number. It's 877-238-4373. We'll give the number again for everyone that's listening that may have questions and need more information about it. This line is open. It's a free helpline. Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And the number is 877-238-4373.
This is very encouraging. Goodness.
Awesome.
Yes.
I'm so glad that you called, Lady Barbara, and I hope that works out for your son and that grandbaby, okay?
Okay, then thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very informative and encouraging.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's what AARP is trying to do, get this information out there so you can go in and be informed and feel empowered and have these resources. Do you guys mind? We're going to go straight because we have so many questions. Let's get to some more of these. Lillian, how are you? She's out in Corona, is it? Or where are you, Lillian?
Yes, I'm in Corona, California.
Oh, welcome to our conversation tonight. Ask us, what is your question?
My question is, I'm still on disability the last year, January 31st up until maybe February the 8th. I was in the hospital then to the skill center. But my husband pays into SDI, but when he called in, he wasn't informed that he can take the FMLA. He just didn't get paid at all because he rarely calls in, but they knew there was a problem because he, like, took up to 8 days.
Right,
and then I had to end up getting home care. And sometimes he was either late for work, tending to me until the nurse got here or something like that. But he never was informed. So is there a time frame that he can claim this or it's too late?
Oh, good question. Good
question. 49 days after the event. And sometimes you can appeal it if you need more time. And that would be the number that Ade just gave out, the 1-877-238-4373. It can be hard to get through. You can also call the coalition or talk to AARP if it's hard to get through. But it is possible, and I'm not sure under what circumstances, but anecdotally I've heard back that people have applied later, and if there were circumstances that they couldn't apply within those 49 days, that they were able to appeal that and, you know, get a little bit more time.
Yeah, I tend to find that the more you appeal, the closer you get to a yes. So, Lillian, don't give up. Just keep appealing.
Yeah.
Are you doing better, sis? Are you doing better?
I'm doing better, and hopefully I'll be going back to work soon, and hopefully I'll go back maybe next month. But every time I think I'm going back, they extend me. So just taking one day at a time.
Yes. And you're able to now let your husband know that he's eligible for that. You guys are eligible, and please get that in there. Call that number. Did you write the number down?
No, when you guys were giving it, I had to put you guys on mute. And what happened is my daughter came and asked a question.
Okay, well, here's the number.
But I heard the number, though, but I didn't
did
get a chance to write it down. Yeah, I'm ready now.
It's 877-238-4373. 4373.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Okay.
And speedy recovery to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies, you guys are on fire. You're giving some great information tonight. We're still got more questions to answer. We're still on I think we're on number three of our five things they need to know, but they're getting answered through these questions like, am I eligible? Who can I care for while taking the paid leave? All those questions are being answered through this. And where can they get more information? Let's jump in. Let's see. Lady Sheila. Sheila, how are you? Are you out there in Carson?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. You have a question for our guest?
Yes. My question is, I wanted to know, as far as with the HIPAA laws, how much information do you have to disclose to your employer in order to, if you needed to take the family leave?
Well, under California And I'm not sure if it's the HIPAA law or if it's just the California Family Rights Act. One of the good things about California is we have a little bit more privacy when it comes to taking job protected leave. So my understanding of it is that your doctor can say taking it to care for a family member with a serious health condition. So the doctor is certifying that the condition that the doctor knows about is a serious health condition and qualifies without saying the details of what it is. But more than that, if you have a specific thing, one of the groups that can help with this is, I need to get their number in front of me, but Legal Aid at Work is one of the coalition mm-hmm. organizations that really can speak specifically to an issue around privacy around these issues. But that's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. That was
thank
very
you.
Helpful.
Thank you, Sheila, for calling in, okay?
Okay.
Family, if you're just joining us, it's Adele Lamar here at 102.3 KJLH, and I've teamed up with AARP. They do these awesome, awesome town hall teleconference calls, and today we're talking about paid family leave, and we want you to jump in on this conversation. If you've not heard about this law, we're going to give you everything you need to know and how you can get more resources to find out if you actually can apply for this. And if you have a question, hit *3. That joins you into the conversation so we can get your question asked. Keep in mind, don't be shy. We love conversation around here. Your question may actually help someone else. So if it's on your mind to ask that question, it's not there for not just jump on and have a conversation. You're talking with family, okay? So I have Shirley. Miss Shirley, she's out in Inglewood. She's in Inglewood. Good morning, Lady Shirley.
Hello.
Or, you know what, Shirley, I keep saying
that's
morning.
Okay. Well, listen, first of all, I want to say this is fantastic that we're having this conversation. I am so appreciative. And my question is there a group or a team that is a part of the coalition that's getting the word out in the community or, you know, visiting the churches or organizations mm-hmm. to, because this information is so wonderful. And there's so much I didn't know that I'm learning now. So I'm just wondering, is that available to the community?
You know what? I'm sure AARP would love to be able to jump in on that. I'll tell you what, mm-hmm. I'm going to have the screener take uh-huh. your information. And
okay.
then what church do you go to, Lady Shirley? You're here in Inglewood?
Yes, St. Mark United Methodist.
Oh, very good. Tell everyone over there we said hello. We're going to try to get some folks to put this together so we can visit more churches because we have to get the word out.
Yes.
Lady Shirley, a lot of folks don't know about it. A lot of people
yes.
are missing out, or if they do, like Jenya said, they think it's something they hadn't paid into, like, should I do this?
Right.
Are they eligible?
Right.
So the more we can get it out, the better. You help spread it, okay? You share it with your friends
will.
And family.
I've been taking notes. I'll be happy to.
Well, we're going to ordain you as an ambassador, okay?
Very good. Very good.
Let one of our screeners take your information,
okay.
and then we will it looks like they got your information, and they'll reach back out to you and tell you how we can put that together. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, though. We'd love to be able to do something with that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You take care now.
Uh-huh.
All right, folks are calling in. *3, jump on it. Get your question asked. No need to sit and worry and just figure out, you know, hoping that someone will ask your question. You're talking with family, okay? So just jump on. We got several to get to. Let's see if we can get to this is Remy. Is it Remy? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that's fine. Remy.
Oh, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. What's your question?
Hey, I could really use paid family leave. I'm taking care of my elderly mother who sees four different specialists. And the problem is that I don't work full time. I work on an as-needed basis. SDI is deducted from, you know, whatever it is I'm receiving, but I don't get, you know, like 40 hours a week, and if the job is also non-benefited. So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, would I qualify, and, you know, how would they figure out, you know, what my pay should be, because it's different every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donna, Jenny, any of you know how that would work, or if she's eligible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, and Donna said this earlier, that paying in is your main eligibility for paid family leave. So if you don't have the same, I think the fear of losing a job is what a lot of people have when they don't take it. But if you're able to take the time off and you pay into SDI, they actually have a formula with the EDD, and you would have to maybe call that number we keep giving out to find out what your amount would be. But they base it on a quarter. They look at your wages over a time, and they pick the quarter within a period of time. This sounds complicated, but that has the highest wages. So they try to be as generous as possible, and it is 60% to 70% of your wages now. So that's at least something, and it definitely helps.
Okay.
Thank you. Did you get that number when we were giving it out?
Yes, I did. I have it written down already.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much for jumping in on the conversation with us. Donna, you want to share?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, Remy, that I'm so glad you called, because I think many caregivers might be in have the same kind of situation you do, with having to do a lot of doctor's appointments, and you may not be working 100% full-time. So thank you for this question.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the response. It's giving me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do, just empower everyone with as much information as we can. And we'll talk with you again, Remy, soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's see, we've got Inez. Inez has a question. She is out in, is it Artesia?
Correct.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well, better than I have been. But I think this last response answered my question. And that
yes,
is.
Yes, you wanted to know, huh?
Yes. Yes. And you said 60% to 70% of your wages.
Yeah, correct. 60% to 70%, depending on. 70% is for lower income, so they just look at the wages to decide that.
Calculate it. It's 70% if you have low wages, and it's 60% if your wages are high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
60% for everybody else, medium
and 50% for everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
60%.
And did you get the number too, Inez?
I'm sorry?
Did you grab that phone number as well?
Yes, I did write that down.
Good.
And that's interesting. And I'm so happy that you called, because as I'm aging, I need more attention. And so it would be good to know that if someone stayed home a day or two or three to take care of me, that they wouldn't be losing their job, and they would be compensated for it.
Lady Inez, you bring up a huge, great point, because not only are the caregivers concerned, those that need care don't want to be a burden to their family.
Mm.
You know, they don't want to feel like they're, like you said, making that person lose out or their job be in jeopardy. This really does give you a great benefit to know that when you need help, just ask. There are things that are out there. You don't have to worry about it. So that's a great perspective, and thanks for bringing that perspective to this conversation.
And what is the program called?
This is with AARP. We are doing, it's a telephone town hall, and we do these from time to time. We've talked before about caregivers and trying to get resources and information to the caregivers on how they can do that better. And today we decided to talk about the paid family leave law.
Oh, it's the paid family leave.
Mm-hmm. The California
paid family leave law.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
Yes.
Leave law. And it's California.
For California. And if you have a family member who qualifies, who's caring for you, you can, when they call, they would be calling that phone number that we've been giving out.
Okay, what if, let's see, I have a friend whose husband has serious dementia. Mm-hmm. Oh, but she's not working. She is retired, too. You have to be
right.
Working.
Right, yeah. So this, again,
okay.
Is for working. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's a different
thank
number
you.
For another day.
Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Family, if you're just joining us, you're joining the AARP Caregiving Paid Family Leave Telephone Town Hall. We are having a great conversation with two experts, Donna Benton from USC, the Los Angeles Family Caregiver Support Center, Jenya Cassidy. She is from the California Work and Family Coalition, and they're answering your questions tonight about California Paid Leave, Paid Family Leave Act, or law, that is. And we're getting a lot of questions answered. Ladies, do you want to run through some more of these? This is what people, they're like, while we have them on the phone, let's talk. Let's get them on.
Absolutely.
Let's see here. Did I jump on this one? Yeah. LaTanya, good evening. Thanks for joining
good
us.
Good evening. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a really quick question. I know that through my employer, I am eligible for the family leave. But my question is, do I have to exhaust all of my vacation because I have quite a few days accumulated, quite a few weeks? And I just want to know, do I have to exhaust my vacation in order to start receiving those benefits?
Well, Donna, do you want to answer?
No, go ahead, Jenya, because I'd rather be exact.
I have a couple of things. Yes, but it's not so much paid family leave because your vacation usually is treated as money you already have banked. You know how if you leave a job, they pay you out your vacation usually?
Yes.
That's kind of already considered your money. With paid family leave, the issue is that you don't want to be it shouldn't be another type of pay, like sick pay, 100% sick pay, and then your paid leave on top of that. But with your vacation time, I think what you're thinking of is with the Family Medical Leave Act, which is just that job protected time. An employer is allowed to have you take up to 2 weeks of that vacation time before you then are on FMLA non-vacation time, so that you're, you know, for whatever reason, that's the way the law works now. And it kind of varies, so I can't give you an exact answer about your situation because it varies depending on how your employer calculates vacation, a lot of other things. If you have a legal question about that, there's a group, Legal Aid at Work, that has a family helpline that could answer your specific question about vacation. Could I give that number out?
Yeah, give that number out.
They're part of the coalition, they're a nonprofit. It's 1-800-880-8047, and they can more specifically answer your question in terms of your specific employer, but the general rule is yes, they can, but also they don't have to. They could say, I'm not going to have you burn through your vacation. I want you to save that for when you want to take a vacation. So an employer is allowed to do that. They just, sometimes choose the other route. But so there, and that is a free advice on specific issues around taking leave that Legal Aid at Work does.
Okay, and give that number one more time, Jenya.
It's 1-800-880-8047.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. I tell you what, I'm going to get to some of these folks that have been waiting. I really want you to talk. Where did I see? This is Lady Shirley. Lady Shirley, you have some upcoming surgeries, right? And your daughters, they live out of state?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being there.
Definitely. You're calling us. Where are you calling us from?
From California.
Okay. Vallejo, is that where you are?
Yes.
Okay. So you have some pending surgeries that are coming up, but your daughter lives out of state, and you want to know if this can benefit your daughter, and does Florida have a system like California? Those are her questions, ladies.
Sadly, no. Ultimately, we hope every state has it, and we hope we have a national program soon. But the only states right now that have paid family leave are New Jersey, Rhode Island,
New York State, Washington State, and Washington, D.C., but it's not implemented yet. And then there's a lot of states that are working on it. But I think with your daughter, it would have to be a situation where she would have to figure out what benefit she does have. Sometimes an employer allows sick time or other time to be used. So there could be a way, but it wouldn't be paid family leave if she's working in Florida.
Where does she live? Oh, you said she's in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's what...
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
I think that's what you said.
And really appreciate you.
Definitely so. But have your daughter reach out, like they were saying, have your daughter reach out to her employer and really ask what kind of, you know, they may have other programs that are available for her. So don't give up on it, okay?
Will do, and take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Good talking to you, Shirley. All righty, let's see. We have Joanne. Let's chat with Joanne. Good morning. I keep saying good morning. It's not morning. I'm so used to getting up early on the radio at 4 something in the morning. It's in the evening now. Lady Joanne, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for giving us out the information. I got most everything I really need, you know, because my family live in Sacramento. I live in L.A. So I'm going to have to go to them, you know, in Sacramento.
And well, actually, Joanne, if I understood it correctly, Donna, Jenya, is it that the Sacramento, she can still come to her mom and take care of her, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can come to L.A. You don't have to go to Sacramento. Your daughter can get these benefits and come to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't have to go there unless you just want a vacation while, you know, let her take care of you while you're out there.
Well, I need to be taken care of, though, that's for sure.
Well, thank you
for that.
Is
I really
to make
do.
Sure that your daughter checks to make, you know, that if she's paying into FDI, that she starts thinking about how, and you guys can think about how you want to use the paid family leave benefit.
Okay, is ELF what? Is she paying to ELF what?
Oh, does she pay into state disability insurance?
Oh, state,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So she pays into it. That after that, then it's a matter of figuring out what would be the best way to use those 6 weeks each, you know, over the year.
Oh, is 6 weeks over a year?
Over a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And does that start over, Donna, after the year? You start over with another 6 weeks?
Guess what? Isn't the answer yes? I just check with Jenya all the time.
Jenya, you're right.
It is every year.
So every 6 weeks, she can...
6 weeks a year. Hopefully someday it'll be more.
Oh, 6 weeks a year. Okay.
Yeah, 6 weeks a year.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks a year. But she has to be paying into the state disability insurance. And if there, you know, she asked her to, you know, look at her stub and make sure she's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and did you take down the number, Joanne?
Yes,
and
I got all of them down.
Okay, great. Well, great. You're well prepared there, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You take care. Thank you so much for calling.
You too.
All righty, guys. Let's see. We're almost out of town. Let me see if I can grab some of these before we get out of here. Lady Dolores, how are you out in Stockton? Thank you so much for joining.
Yes. My question is, is there any effect? What is the effect on your retirement system if you do not pay in during that time? And my concern is, I volunteered for the Red Cross, and that was not approved, so the teachers deducted me so many days from my retirement. And then when I went on strike, they deducted a whole lot of days because they had a first formula. I want to know if this is affected any way by that.
That's more legal than I would know. So, Jenya, I'm sorry I have to ask you to answer it may be too legal for us.
Well,
Well, first I thought you meant, you know, because now there's this new proposal out there where they want to, the Trump administration is interested in doing this new program where they take money out of retirement. We're not for that because we think people need their retirement. But I think what you're asking is if you take that time off and then that impacts your retirement because if you're not paying into retirement during that time, is that right?
Yes.
And I'm not sure, and I really think that's on a case-by-case basis because I'm not – yeah, that's one I don't really know, and maybe it maybe that would be calling EDD because I'm not sure how
– that people would not take the time off and use it if it was going to cut their pay, their retirement check back at the end of when they retire.
Yes, and it's usually a pretty short time over a career that people do take that time. That's one thing that, you know, employers often worry when we're passing these laws, oh, no, people will take the time. But it's like, you know, people have a baby and then they have caregiving, but it's over 20 years, it's a pretty small time. So I don't think that concern hasn't come up, so I'm not sure it does have a big impact. But I would actually have to research that a little bit, and maybe the next time we're on, we can talk specifically about that.
Let's give her that number. Should we give her the one
for
the legal aid?
Yeah, I would call that. It's 1-800-880-8047, and they would either know or would know where to go for that.
Okay. But I think that would also be beneficial to some people in the long run.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you, Lady Dolores, for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All righty, let's jump to some more. Let's see here. One of our questions, we've got Toy.
Yes.
How are you, Toy? Thanks for joining us.
I'm well, thank you. I just had a quick question, and it's kind of off the beaten path, so forgive me. But last year I was taken off from work for a couple of reasons, and the doctor is still not allowing me to return to work. Now my question is, after working for years and you're paying into SDI, do I have to call another number to ask why will they just allow us a year for disability? Because I did not get FMLA because I was off. It was me.
So you were off. You were on SDI for over a year,
uh-huh.
And then the benefit stopped.
Yes.
I think that's a really good question. No, that is the law. So in terms of what they can do now, the benefits do stop after a year. And when you're not the one on it, it sounds like a lot of time, but it isn't always enough time. So I think that's a really, for me, that's more of a question of. I love hearing all these questions because it makes me think, and with my policy head, of how do we change that so that that's more fair?
Yeah, I've worked for years
yeah.
and years, and I have to take off. I didn't have a choice. And actually, I worked for a company that wasn't the best place, so I didn't take off while I was working, and I probably should have. So I don't even know what to do about that, but that's neither here nor there. I just didn't understand why, in working all these years, and I've paid into it all these years, why it is just a year that I get my own money back. That, you know, there's probably thousands of dollars that, and not saying that I should be paid all of that money, but at least paid a portion of that until I am allowed to go back to work, instead of having to go to SSDI and apply. And, you know, that's a joke because...
Mm-hmm.
You jump through hoops and they still turn you down. So
Toya, I thank you for calling and bringing it to our attention because, as Jenya said, when they're thinking about policy and things that affect families, it's so good to get a perspective of those that are using it or need it. And for her to get your perspective is awesome because she can take it to the higher places where they're making the rules, and we really appreciate her being able to do so and you sharing what we need to really address. So thank you for calling and sharing tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Family, we're going to start wrapping up now. We just really appreciate you staying on the line with us to talk about this. It is something that really, really needs to be talked about. If you can, share it. Share it. It's the paid family leave, California paid family leave law, and it's available to you. And if you'd like more information, we've been giving out this number all night, 877-238-4373. We have these wonderful experts that's been with us, and I'm going to give them a chance to kind of wrap up and just say their goodbyes and last thoughts. Donna Benton from USC, Los Angeles Family Caregiver Support Center. She is just so awesome. Lady Donna, you are just so awesome. You've been with these before. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, for my part, I just want to say that the laws are there now, but there's still things that we need as family caregivers. We need to use the paid family leave, but we also need job protection. Yeah. We need maybe more time. And so I think becoming our own advocates to help improve these laws and improve the categories, it becomes really important for us. So you know, be aware, but also we need to continue to advocate.
Yes. Jenya Cassidy. Yes. Jenya Cassidy for the California Work and Family Coalition. Awesome. This is your first one with us. We hope it's the first of many, many, many. You bring so much to the table. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, and just thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. And I second everything Donna said. And I really liked Shirley's idea of going to the churches.
Yeah.
And this has inspired me to just do everything we can with AARP and all of our partners to really spread the word about this benefit and help improve it.
Well, family, we thank you again. Again, this is Adele Lamar with KJLH Radio. I do hope you've been able to really enjoy this. We just simply love AARP because they love caregivers and they love getting information to all of us. If you'd like to find out more information, go to aarp.org/caregiving. There's a lot of information there. That's aarp.org/caregiving. And we hope to join you again whenever I'm calling on that rotary. Pick up and let's talk, all right? Have a great evening.